Lawrence, USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the fighting men of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week, till it's over there. Hello there, gang. You're on that old Command Performance beam, and Command Performance is on the beam with your favorite entertainers filling the orders you shoot in to your favorite show. And speaking of orders, the first order of business on Command Performance tonight is to answer letters from Huerman and the Mudders at Fort Randolph, and from hundreds of you guys all the way from the British Isles to India and Egypt and China, and from our battling Marines in the South Pacific, and from Allen and a lot of fighting guys in Alaska, who join with the whole AEF to say, for Mistress of Ceremonies, give us Rita Hayworth.
Thank you, Don Wilson. And hello, fellas. You know, back in the old days, the most thrilling date in Hollywood was a shooting date at the studio. But going out shortwave with you men who are doing the shooting over there, well, it's tops with yours truly. Truly it is. And if your little red notebook is filled with the names of stars you'd like to date on Command Performance, why, man, don't be bashful. Just sing out. But right now, one of your favorites is going to sing out for Shires, Upson, and 19 more of you somewhere in India. And for two tough guys with two tough names, Sizlov and Marinchuk, at APO 833. And for Joe, Pete, and Percy, at a certain barracks in Hawaii. It isn't Barracks 13, is it, Joe? So, here she is in a medley from the Paramount picture The Fleet's In, Miss Cass Daly.
Hi, fellas. Homely, ain't I? I was home on the range and in need of a change, for there weren't any men out my way. And I'm telling you, pal, it's no fun for a gal. Where the deer and the antelope play. Then he came to me from out of nowhere. He was the yard bird of Company B. And he said, please, won't you put a fellow at ease? I'm one of those lonesome draftees, and I'd like a date with you. We might enjoy a pop or two at some secluded rendezvous. But I said nothing to him, my sherry. It's gotta be a cocktail or two. That's how we spent an hour or two. And then his girlfriend came into view. And with the twist of a wrist, she hit me with a fist. And in her fist was a bottle of Pepsi-Cola. It knocked out every mola. I had a sweet little headache. But she wasn't through with me. Cause she started reaching for all the silverware. She threw it all without a compromise. I tried to see the nearest exit, but a spoon got in my eye. My eye was all red, my complexion was white, all blue was my anatomy. I shouted, I am an American. That's the Broadway melody.
Thank you, Cass Daly, and thanks to Lou Forbes of Selznick Productions conducting the orchestra. A word now to Farmer's Mate, Third Class, Walter Stitt, and 18 buddies at Pearl Harbor. Walter, your recent letter asking for the greatest blues song in America is filed with hundreds of letters from Newfoundland and Trinidad, the Fiji Islands, New Caledonia, and ships at sea. We file these letters under HJC. And uncoding HJC for all of you, it's the Hall Johnson Choir and the St. Louis Blues.
Lord, naughty, naughty, naughty. Oh, Lord.
Thanks to the Hall Johnson Choir. Well, gang, command performance is heard everywhere in the world. So it's high time that we dedicate a number to... guess who, of all things? Adolf Hitler. You know, the German radio says very bad things about command performance, but we just don't care. We feel that Schickelgruber deserves a number, and we know just the tune that'll please that guy. So, here's America's Band of the Hour, Spike Jones and his City Slickers, and their sensational tune, Der Führer's Face.
When the Führer says, "Wie ist der Meister Heiß?" Wie heil! Heil! Right in the Führer's face, not to love the Führer. He's a great disgrace, so wie heil! Heil! Right in the Führer's face. Then her Goebbels says, "We own the Berlin's face." Wie heil! Heil! Right in her Goebbels face, when her Göring says, "They'll never bomb this place." Wie heil! Heil! Right in her Göring's face. Are we not the Superman? Aryan pure Superman.
Yeah, we are the Superman.
Super duper Superman. Nazi land so good, would you leave it if you could?
Yeah, this Nazi land is good. We would leave it if we could.
We bring the world new order. Heil Hitler's world new order. Everyone of foreign race will love the Führer's face when we bring to the world disorder. When the Führer says, "We is the master race." We heil, heil. Right in the Führer's face, not to love the Führer. He's a great disgrace, so we heil, heil. Right in the Führer's face.
I'll bet it's purple when he hears that. But thanks a lot, Spike Jones and the City Slickers. Next, fellas, for the Tall Tales Club in China, and for all you men who take those merchant vessels through to the combat zones, we present the famous American scientist who invented the cotton gin and then tried to get an off-sales license, Mr. Frank Morgan. And here, as advanced man to prepare you for the shock, is John Conte.
Thank you, Rita Hayworth, and hello, everybody. It gives me great pleasure tonight to
Conte, am I glad I found you here?
Well, Meredith Wilson. What's the matter, Meredith?
Well, I got a terrific riddle, John, knowing you'd be here and knowing how much you like riddles and all.
Well, what makes you think I like riddles, Meredith?
Well, it don't matter if you don't. This is a musical riddle.
It is?
John, what is it that has a delicate, well-rounded shape, a slender, graceful neck, has a bow, and is 200 years old?
Well, if she's got a younger sister, deal me in, fellas. I got one.
All right, Frank. All right, just settle down. This is only a riddle.
Oh, hello, Jockey.
Conte. Please, Frank, my name is John Conte. Why do you keep calling me Jockey?
I can't imagine, unless it's because of that racy air you have.
Oh.
And then again, I always connect a jockey with the back of a horse. What were you saying, Meredith?
Oh, I didn't say anything.
I'm beginning to wish I hadn't either.
Well, if you lads are going to be so glum, I'll just return to Sun Valley, where I know the company is
Sun
more...
Sun Valley?
Yes.
Did you just come in from Sun Valley?
Not 20 minutes ago.
Well.
In fact, I haven't even had time to change my ski clothes. Some people say she. I'm just dying to get out of these wet socks and into a dry martini. It doesn't fit, but it's a good idea.
How long were you in Sun Valley, Frank?
Well, I left immediately after the program last Thursday, accompanied by a female flying instructor in my new low-wing monoplane.
Wacko?
Well, she was a little dizzy, but a good... Wacko, you mean the plane?
Yes, the plane.
I thought you said wacky. No, it's a 1,200 horsepower amphibian coupe, hydromatic clutch, wire wheels, one-man top, and two-way compass. Is that airplane talk?
Well, I'm sure I don't know.
Well, then I can speak freely. My ship has a normal cruising speed of 700 miles an hour and attains an altitude of
It doesn't matter, Frank. I'm just surprised to learn you can operate a plane.
Well, who isn't? I mean, they don't call me Ace Morgan for nothing.
Ace Morgan?
Veteran of the Lafayette Escadrille.
Oh.
Charter member of the Caterpillar Club and the loudest of the Quiet Birdmen.
Gee, this is interesting.
Yes. My grandfather... My grandfather, Guten Morgan, was one of aviation's real pioneers.
Guten.
Old Guten, or Foots as he was called, was regarded as something of an eccentric by his neighbors in Bagel Hollow, because from boyhood on he kept insisting it was possible for man to fly.
Well, hatch my eggs and call me cuckoo.
Yes, I... No doubt you've heard of my uncle Tailskid Morgan.
No, I can't say that I have.
Oh,
me neither, but, gee, this is interesting.
Uncle Tailskid was a great contributor to aeronautical science while he was still professor of chemistry at Pratt Falls High School.
I suppose he invented the dirigible.
You have a keen sense of anticipation, Conti. Although Uncle Tailskid was mainly interested in balloons, he devoted a good deal of his time to the rigid craft.
He did.
In a limp sort of way. It was his wife, my Aunt Gusset, a very wealthy woman in her own right, who financed his balloon experiments.
Well, how long did he work on the gas bag?
Until she married him. My uncle was not satisfied with the existing methods of ballooning, so he decided to invent a cheap new gas. He began a series of experiments which cost a fortune. And one day, when my Aunt Gusset was taking his lunch out to the laboratory, she heard a terrific explosion. She dashed into the room and found the walls covered with tiny spots.
Were those spots the result of your uncle's experiment?
No, those spots were my uncle. It was a sad ending for such an accomplished scientist, but he'll go down in history as the father of the hot air principle.
Leaving you to carry on.
Yes, I've... gave you a beautiful chance. I'll investigate that remark later, Jockey.
Do that.
At any rate, I learned to fly my own plane at a very early age, and by the time I was 14, I was doing Immelmanns, wing overs, barrel rolls, ground loops, every trick known to the advanced flyer.
Well, do you know how to get out of a dive?
Well, if the cops don't meet me to the back door, I got off. Meredith, and this is going overseas. On my first trip to Sun Valley, I ran into a storm at 16,000 feet, and ice began to form on my wing.
No.
To make matters worse, I detected a slight missing in my right motor.
Your right motor was missing?
Yes, I found out later I'd left it at the airport. Anyway, in a few minutes, I located the trouble, a loosening of the miniature trenel in my intake manifold.
Miniature trenel?
Yes.
What's that?
A small steak.
I'll have lamb chops.
French fried?
Mashed.
Fried too. What are we talking about?
Now, you stop that, John. Frank's on the wing of a speeding plane.
Oh, forgive me. Go on, Frank.
Well, don't interrupt.
All right.
My hand was frozen to the wench. I mean wrench. But once I had the motor running like a top.
It's amazing.
Yes.
How did you manage to crawl back into the cabin, Frank?
I didn't. While I was working on the wing, the ship fell off.
The ship fell off.
Yes, a dreadful feeling.
It must have.
It seemed like hours before I reached Sun Valley and made a one-point landing on a cheap church steeple.
Now, wait a minute. Frank,
what?
Just a minute. You flew to Sun Valley on a wing?
Yes, it took a pretty piece of...
Frank, did you ever hear of the law of gravity?
Gravity?
Yes.
Law. Yes. Well, this happened before the law was passed. Never thought I'd get out of that one. Well, fellas, I gotta get out of these ski she clothes. I've never
now
felt...
Now, wait, don't go, Frank. I'd like to hear about Sun Valley. Tell us more.
I'm coming to that. As soon as I arrived, I was struck by the beauty of the ice rink. A perfect circle, 200 feet in diameter. I couldn't resist the impulse, and in a flash, I was in my tights and blades, gliding into the rink.
Uh-huh.
I was all alone at first. But as I described a series of sparkling glissandos, a small crowd began to gather. Then, pretending to flick an imaginary snow crystal from my skate, I pirouetted on one toe, a flashing human gyroscope, till the crowd burst into spontaneous cheers.
That got him, huh, Frank?
I whirled out of the pirouette into an arabesque, out of an arabesque into a tour jeté, out of a tour jeté into a cocktail bar. I'm dizzy.
Well, come on, keep skating, Frank.
Yes, by this time the crowd was hysterical. Throwing caution to the winds, I skated faster and faster. I finished off with a dozen precision tinsekas that sent the audience into a delirium. Young girls waved their toques, and dowagers shook their diamond stomachers.
You must have been a sensation.
I would have done even better were it not for one thing.
What was that?
There was no ice on the rink. Well, so long, fellas. I gotta buy...
Thank you, Frank Morgan, and the same to John Conti and Meredith Wilson. Well, gang, calling off the APO numbers where letters originate asking for our next star would, well, it would be like rattling off the signals in the Army-Navy game. But I know that each one of you who has heard this beautiful girl sing on command performance will know that she's singing again for all of you who have invited her back. So, fellas, here's that swell tune, I Got a Right to Sing the Blues, and Lena Horne.
Got a right to feel low down. I got a right to hang around, down around the river. A certain man in this old town keeps dragging
Thank you.
like to sing blues. I got a right to moan and sigh. I got a right to sit and cry. Must be love, say what you choose. I got a right to sing the
blues. Men, that about winds up this date with you. You know, I was just thinking, how was it with you when you were a kid? You know, those places where you are tonight? Egypt, for example. Was Egypt something you looked at in geography books? Something with pyramids? Did you wonder about the Fiji Islands and New Guinea and China and India? And were Newfoundland and Iceland and Greenland just big hunks of green on page 10, surrounded by blue paper? Well, I guess you've learned plenty about these places by now. And over there in Germany and Italy and Japan, they're learning geography the hard way, learning about 48 states that make up the USA. Hitler and Hirohito and Mussolini have a lot of bitter lessons to learn. And when they take their final exams, brother, they're really going to flunk out. This is Rita Hayworth, thanking you again for this date and sending the AEF a goodnight kiss from all of us in the USA.
Command Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, answering the requests of our fighting men, nurses, and civilian workers throughout the world, and saluting our partners in all the United Nations. Command Performance is presented by the War Department of the United States in cooperation with the Hollywood Victory Committee and Local 47 American Federation of Musicians. This is Don Wilson thanking you all for the swell letters you send to Command Performance, care of this station, and until next week, saying so long from Uncle Sam.